Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, September 1st, 2013, Pastor Paul Tolberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Children, I just want to remind you of that little children's devotion you're going to be having. And again, it deals with something that as a child, I really didn't get. So I have this bunch of nickels up here. I have some more nickels here. I have some more nickels here. And of course, I dropped some nickels. Of course I did. Yes, there we are. I'm going to read to you just the last part of what we're going to be looking at as the adults. It says here, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends. Read it again. When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors. But if you do, they may invite you back and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. And now I invite the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion. Ah, there's that nickel. And if you don't have your nickels, don't worry. Andy, you want to make sure if someone doesn't have the nickels, they get their two from you? I'm just going to sit down right here. Ah. If you haven't gotten your two nickels from Andy, he'll give them to you. Whoops, I'll move this over here. Can you get up here? There you go. Got them? Everyone have them all? Got yours? Jesus talks about nickels today. All right, Andy gave you all two nickels. Do you all have both of your nickels with you? Make sure you have your two nickels, okay? All right. Now, just so you know, I got tons of nickels. I got lots of nickels. Well, I'm going to show you how generous I am. I also have glasses. You know what? One, two, three, four. Here's four nickels for you. You're welcome. Let me see your nickels. You have two nickels. I tell you what, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you two more nickels. There you are. How many nickels you got, sir? You have two. I'll give you two more. How many nickels do you have, ma'am? You have two. Here, I'm going to give you, you also have glasses. I'm going to give you four. Oh. All right, there we go. Meanwhile, Andy's snickering behind me. He's saying, I got glasses. Well, Andy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you two. How's that? Is that right? He doesn't mind it. All right, now. May I have four nickels, please? Thank you so much. May I have two nickels, please? Thank you. May I have two nickels? Oh, that's nice. You gave me two nickels. Guess what? Here's two nickels for you. May I have four nickels, please? There, Andy, may I have two nickels, please? Would you like to have two nickels? I'm going to give you two nickels. May I have three nickels, please, Andy? See how generous I am? Watch this. I'm going to give Andy a nickel. Isn't that cool? I am so generous. How many nickels do you have? How many do you have? How many do you have? How many do you have? Two. How many do you have? Two. I'm not generous at all. How come? I gave him and I took him right back. So it looks like I'm generous. Everyone out there thinks, oh, I'm generous. I'm making a big noise. Oh, yeah, you have glasses. Yeah, here's four. You know, here's. I'm not being generous. It just looks like I am. Jesus says, when you give to other people, what you do is you give like God gives to you. And God is a very generous God. When you came in today, you were not expecting any money at all from church. When I was growing up, Church was a place where my folks would always give me money to give away. You never expect to get money when you come to church, and all of a sudden you got money. More than one, you got two. And then you come up here and it gets a whole bunch more. You get a whole bunch, so you get a lot more. Yeah, these two are really smiling at me. You know why? Because I gave them four. But it was all just to pretend because they still have the same amount that you have. God says when you give, give like God gives. Don't expect anything back. Don't have any strings. Don't expect that the person's going to be kind to you or the person's going to treat you nicely or that they're going to give you two more back. Because if I give her two and she just gives it right back to me, I'm not giving her anything. So now this is what I want you to do. I want you to remember this. How are you going to remember this? This is a hard thing to remember, to give away a gift like God gives. So I'm going to give you a gift today. You have two, right? I'm going to give you two, three, four, five, six, seven. And give it so that you each have seven. And this is what I want you to do every day this week. Every day this week, I want you to come and find somebody to give a nickel to. It's from me to them. I don't care who you give it to, but find somebody to give this nickel to. And when you give it to them, just say, you know, I got this nickel in church to remind me how generous my God is. He took away all my sins, you know. I didn't do a thing for that. He came back to life again. I didn't do a thing for that. He made sure I was baptized. I didn't do a thing for that. Did you know that when I was baptized, I was a sound asleep? At least I think I was. Maybe I was crying. I don't know. But it doesn't matter because God is so generous. He adopted me as his child. And he gave me all of heaven. So when you give this away, I want you to remember how generous God is. And then, when you come back next week, you're going to have only one left over, right? Well, see this? I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to leave it out there for a long time. As long as there's nickels in it, you can go up and take out some nickels to give away to somebody else the next week. Got it? You know what your job is to do now? I'm going to make sure you all have seven nickels before you leave today. And give away all of them except for one. And then if you come back here next week, fill up. Okay? Let's talk to Jesus right now. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for being so generous with us. You took away all of our sins. You made sure that we're going to be with you forever in heaven. You gave us Christian family. We have a wonderful place in which to worship. All these are great gifts that we never did a thing for. Please help us to remember that you are the good, the kind, and the generous God. Help us not to be so greedy, but to be like you, to be generous on the inside. And to freely give away what you in such great love freely give to us. Jesus, we ask this in your name, because you're the one who's alive again and will be with us as we live for you. Amen. So now, after church, because it's going to take too long to do this right now, after church, I would like Andy, since you all know who Andy is. Andy, this is Andy. This is Andy. Say, hi, Andy. Oh, no, no. Say, hi, Andy. That's better, okay? Look for that guy, and he will be in charge of making sure that when you leave here, you have seven nickels, okay? Now, that means you can't give away those nickels for the offering. Isn't that a shame? Okay, you may go back to your seats. And Andy, lest I forget, I'm going to give this to you right now, okay? And you can just go in the back there and put it in the back. Thanks. The last couple of weeks, we've been hearing a couple of very hard things about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, things that are hard to get our heads wrapped around. Today is one more of those. But the reason why the Lord recorded it is because he wants us to understand himself. He wants us to understand how he works in his life and how he loves us so much. He wants us to be with himself in heaven. So we'll go through this one more time. On a day of worship, Jesus went to eat at the home of a prominent Pharisee. Today we'd say on Sunday. On Sunday, Jesus was invited to somebody's house. You invite me to your house after church? That's what happened. It's a pretty normal thing. Except this was the home of a prominent Pharisee. You need to understand, if you're not quite sure what Pharisees are like, Pharisees were very, very stuck on themselves, and they would kind of look down their nose at you because you don't know as much Bible as they do. You don't know the middle letter of the book of Deuteronomy, I bet you. I bet you don't know the Psalms by heart like I, as a good Pharisee, would know. Well, you probably know one. You probably know Psalm 100 or Psalm 23, but I'm a good little Pharisee. I know a lot more than that. That's how Pharisees were. Pharisees would keep track of you to make sure that when you were walking on a Sunday, you didn't walk more steps than you were supposed to, or you'd be in trouble with them. They make sure that you would eat right. They make sure that you wash your hands right. They make sure that you'd, all these little itty-bitty rules, 600 of them that they had. That was what the Pharisees were like. You'd find them in worship all the time, and they'd be proper all the time. It's not that there's anything wrong with being proper. It's not that there's anything wrong with following a certain code of conduct. But what the Pharisees did, it was all about themselves and what they're going to make sure you do. So now Jesus, on a Sunday, it'd be a Saturday, a Sabbath day, day of worship, Jesus went to eat at the home of a prominent Pharisee. The guests were watching Jesus very closely. You need to know that also. They're watching him very closely. Why? Because of what's next. A certain man was there who had a disease. When I was growing up, they called it dropsy. We don't know what it was like. We have no idea. We think that it had to do with swelling of the hands and feet. We don't know. This is the part of the text that I chose to, again, put in there. The normal reading for the day doesn't have this part. But you need to understand, he's going to this house of this Pharisee. There's a guy with a disease that everybody can see. He's got this really bad sickness. So now watch what happens at the home of this Pharisee. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in Moses' teachings, is it right to heal on the day of worship or not? If healing was work, then the Pharisees would say, no, it's not right. It's not right to do good on the Sabbath day. So what did they do? They didn't say a thing. So Jesus took hold of the man, healed him, and sent him away. Jesus asked them, if your son or your ox falls into a well on a day of worship, wouldn't you pull him out immediately? And they couldn't argue with Jesus about this. Notice it doesn't say that they agreed with him. They were just flabbergasted. What you are seeing in this little episode here is you're seeing law and gospel collide. And when you are governed by God's law, which just tells you, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. When your heart is all governed by law, then what happens is it doesn't see the gospel. It's like you don't even understand the slightest of what Jesus is all about. So what happens? They couldn't argue with Jesus about this, and then Jesus noticed how the guests always chose the places of honor. So Jesus used this illustration when he spoke to them. When someone invites you to a wedding, don't take the place of honor. Maybe someone more important than you was invited. Then your host would say to you, give this other person your place. And embarrassed, you would have to take the place of least honor. So when you're invited, take the place of least honor. Then, when your host comes, he'll tell you, friend, move to a more honorable place. Then all the other guests will see how you are honored. Those who honor themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves, who exalt themselves, will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Wow. What's happened is that Jesus has walked into a place that is governed by serve me, 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 me. Think about me first. Me first, only, and best. Make it look really nice. But it's all about me, 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 and serve me and live for me only. That's what I'm all about as a Mr. Pharisee. And I hope if I'm really, really good, that's going to cut some mustard with God when I have to leave this world. Because, you know, I noticed looking at my family tree, every one of my grandpas and great-great-grandpas, they've all died. And I want to make sure I'm in heaven with, I'm good and square with that big guy up in the sky, as they say. So I'm going to make sure I do good. So I'm going to make sure that you don't walk more than 500 feet in a day, that you make sure that you have no pork sandwiches, that you make sure that you don't even go near roadkill, don't have rabbit stew. All those rules that they had invented. They lived in the dark. They were blind. They were stuck on themselves, and they are so different from what you and I are by God's grace as Christians. By God's grace, what he does is, it's like a doctor. You go into the doctor's office, you know things are not quite right, you can't quite put your finger on it, man, I just not. So the doctor goes through a gamut of tests, and he comes up with a file, has your name on it. He's looking at the file, he's looking at all the x-rays and the MRIs and all the diagnosis, all the blood work, and he says, oh, you're not feeling very good, right? No, I'm not at all, no. Well, this tells me that you have advanced stage cancer and you'll probably be dead in about 3 weeks. Ooh, I don't want to hear that, doctor. Oh, okay, I'll shut that and I'll say something else. Guess what? You're perfectly fine. It's just a passing cold and go on your way. Take a couple aspirin. See you next week. If that kind of a conversation would go on, you and I would be really angry. Why? Because it's obviously the doctor's lying to us the second time and he's telling us the truth the first time. Even though we didn't like it, we know that we had to have the truth. This is what Jesus does. He walks into a place that doesn't need him, that feels that they don't want him, they don't need him, they just want to catch him doing something wrong so they can stop people from listening to him. He goes into there anyway because Jesus has the truth. And you know what the truth is? The truth is that God loves these people, these arrogant, stuck-on-themselves people, because God loves us. We are arrogant, stuck on ourselves, people. We all have that same little heart burning inside of us. God warns against us from beginning to end in the scriptures. This is the thing that brought down Satan. Satan thought that he could be God. He was such a phenomenal created angel. He thought he could be God. Foolish thought. Centered on himself. Now he's forever cast out. And what's the first thing you do? He tries to get more people into his place of punishment. So what does God do? God has this incredible plan because he loves us. And he looks at our chart, he looks at all the blood work, and he looks at this terrible disease that's just, there's no hope for us. It's incurable. We cannot cure it. So God says, I tell you what, I will replace it with my life. I will replace your terrible life with my perfect life, and I will remove all that wickedness from you so that when you die, you go safely into heaven. Because that's where I live. And that's only where holy and happy and godly people are, and you're never going to be that way. So Jesus came. And he lived for us. And he died for us on the cross. And his life of perfection and his death covered all of the punishment for sin that we would ever mass up for ourselves. And then he adopts us into his family through the washing of holy baptism. Then he keeps that faith alive and growing through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and the Word. No wonder, how come when you look at yourself, you're just flabbergasted. You're just astonished or amazed. This is what some Christians in the past said. Job said, "I am vile." The Apostle Paul said, "I am the chief of sinners." The Apostle also said in another place, "Esteem others as better than yourself." Again, he says, "It's by the grace given to me that I say to everyone among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with proper judgment. For if anyone thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself." We are to be on our guard against sinful pride. Sinful pride leads to self-righteousness, self-idolatry. And when you are focused on yourself and living for yourself, there is no room for God. See, God doesn't force himself on anyone. He wraps his cords of love and mercy around our hearts, and he draws us to himself. In God we trust. That's what God wants us. He wants us to trust himself. Believers, men and women, young and old, he wants us to trust that we have been saved. It's a past tense. It's a done deal. Through faith, not by works, so that I will not boast. Because everything has been given to me as a gift from God. Now, during the week, those children are going to go out with 7 coins in their pocket. I am praying that those 7 coins find themselves into other people's hands and other people's pockets. There'll probably be other little people's. And what happens? I'm praying that when they do that, they'll say, you know, God loves me. He took my sins away, and to remind me of that, I got this nickel to give away today. And I want you to know that. Here, have a nickel. And when they say, oh, you must be really rich giving away money, I pray that God gives them the words to say, you know, it's not mine. I was given this to give away this way, this week, to remind me of what God said. In God we trust. It's about God. It's not about me. It's not about giving only to get. It's about giving because this is how God in his very nature is. The Bible says, those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be only wrath and anger. For the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It is God's enemy. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking, from the so-called enlightened spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. What we're supposed to do is supposed to remind ourselves that, well, wait a minute. If I humble myself before the living God, the living God who created all things, if I humble myself before my heavenly Father, who promises that he'll take care of me, and he wrote that promise with the lifeblood of his only Son, if I humble myself before him, I am certainly more than taken care of. So the whole key that you and I need to understand is to remember. Remember what the Lord your God has done for you. God has brought you into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. God has washed away all your sins. God has forgiven you your iniquities. The Lord's love is more for you, higher than the heavens are above the earth. As far as the east is from the west. What a God we serve. What a great God we serve. And he's awesomely head over heels in love with us, and he wants us to be with himself in heaven. So guard yourself against pride. Guard yourself into thinking it's something about you. It's not about you. It's about God. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus has done for you and me on the cross. And that is so much joy, so much peace, so much safety, so much guidance in the world that is so confusing. In his name, so let us live this week. Amen.